guess, well, because we're talking about Lancaster, there's a link to Lancaster that should mention us did PPE, which is philosophy and politics. And then shortly after I left, I went to a prison. Actually,
just hang on a sec, Richard.
Yeah?
Do you just break it up a bit, actually?
Keep talking, Richard. We'll just tell you when it's working.
Okay. Well, I'll start at the less important end of the story then. So I moved to Denmark, mostly for personal reasons. I had a Danish girlfriend, and that was why I moved over there to live with her. How's the sound now?
We can still hear you, and so just keep going.
All right.
Obviously, you can't see if Pace is looking blank or confused because they're too far away.
All right.
If we ask you to repeat, I'll just...
Yeah, okay. Your signal's coming through very clear here. It's all okay. The sound is fine. So it's a shame. Anyway, so I started the company in 2005. This is the Mug, is actually company name. Bit of branding there, Enrich. It's a consultant company. We do, I say we, it's only me full time, and then I have about 10 freelancers that I use on a job by job basis. And we work in the area of learning, change, and organizational development. So we do a lot of leadership development, change management, staff training, team development. Performance management, that sort of thing, in both public and private organizations. The reason I got into it, I'm working in industry already, I've done a couple of jobs. I think the reason that I decided to start my own company is somewhat a well-known or a cliche reason. I think I just had a feeling that the companies I was working for, I had a feeling that I could do this better. It sounds a little bit like hubris or a little bit arrogant, but I just had a feeling that a lot of the products I was working with, a lot of the material I was teaching from, wasn't necessarily as good as I reckon I could do myself. So that was one of the main reasons. And then I would say that there were things holding me back as well. And one of the breakthroughs came when I was chatting to a guy. We would do kind of job together, actually. We were just chatting over lunch. And I think I've been worried about how bureaucratic or difficult it would be to start my own company. And he simply assured me that it would be very easy, it's not a problem, that in Denmark, Denmark's a very kind of business-friendly culture and so on. And it was more or less his intervention, his encouragement, that made me think, well, all right, why not try it? So I went down to the tax office. And sure enough, it was one piece of paper. It did. 2 days later, I received my VAT number, and I was able to start writing invoices. I mean, well, I had to do some work first, obviously, but you know, it was allowed to start writing invoices. So that was it. It was just a conversation with a guy that made me think, all right, maybe it's not as difficult as I imagined. And I think also that act, when I started it in 2005, 10 years ago, that really stands out for me as one of the times, or one of the periods of the company that I'm most proud of, the way it started. At that time, I really had absolutely nothing at all. The girlfriend I'd been out there to be with, and I was separated, and I was living in a little rented room in a small flat, and had absolutely nothing, no money. I was down to my last couple of £100, and I really started from nothing. And so when I company off, and well, the lucky thing, of course, is in a consultancy company, you're selling your know-how and your skills and so on. So there aren't that many overheads. There isn't much investment required. You could just go out and kind of sell your time, your capabilities, and skills. So it was possible to start from absolutely nothing. So in fact, at that point, I didn't even have a laptop or an internet connection in the rented room I was living. So I had to start the company. This is no word of a lie. I started looking from internet cafes. So I would go down to a local internet cafe, 20 kroner for half an hour, and I would sit there surrounded by 30-year-old playing World of Warcraft. And I'd write endlessly and producing proposals for customers and stuff, and sending them off. I've brought up the average age in the internet cafe by double or something. And that was how I wrapped things for several months. Until, you know, I managed to get enough pay to buy myself a laptop. But then I still didn't have internet connection room. So then I started sitting in you know, cafes with Wi-Fi, planning my laptop. But then 6 months late down the line, and I got a place to stay with my internet connection, that sort of thing. 6 months later down the line, I was headhunted for one of the companies that I was working for, headhunted by them. It was a quite large consulting company in Denmark. Ended up working for them before I got headhunted to another place, worked for half a year. So it really started from taking nothing to taking off quickly. And I think that was something that I'm really, really proud of and happy about. Then in 2009, I went back to running this company. I left the company that I was working for. And I've been here at Brits ever since. And in many ways, I mean, it is a small company. You know, there's only me full time, like I said, and there's a network of freelancers that I've used. But it's also, we've done a lot in the years, in the 5 or 6 years we've been out against it. We provide courses in, right about Europe. Italy, France, Spain, Holland, UK, Sweden, all over Europe. We've also provided services, of course, in Shanghai, in Bangkok, in Hong Kong, New York, São Paulo, Brazil. So we've got quite an international presence as well. Fairly niche, but we have a couple of large customers that have global organizations that we service. So, anyways, from very humble beginnings, we've actually done pretty well, I'd say. I think there's also been difficulties and some problems. I don't think I've experienced anything which I'm calling out now today or anything really critical, but definitely there have definitely been things that I've had to learn to deal with. One of them is volatility of the consultancy industry. It goes, you know, up and down. Turnover and profitability swings significantly from month to month, from year to year. That's been a challenge to deal with, definitely. Another significant challenge has been pricing. For me personally, I kind of felt embarrassed about some of the prices I was asking for my customers. And I think because it sounds like when you're running a consulting, it sounds like you're pricing things far, far higher than the rate you normally hear about. Rates and so on. And I think one of the things I had to realize was to get over that embarrassment about pricing and realize they're not only paying for your time, they're also paying for your availability, flexibility. So they're paying for the fact that actually you also have, not only are they going to price you for time, but you also have a lot of spare time in your for them to be able to buy. The only reason that companies can hire me because I'm not booked all the time. So they pay for that kind of flexibility and availability. I had to get used to sales, not a natural sales, so I had to get used to that. And I would say the other thing, I had to understand how to my own time. So of course, when you're your own boss, and I love being my own boss, you get total freedom over your time, which means, yeah, it's great and whatever. It also means that you can risk, you end up working all the time to work. I would, in the early years, I would catch myself kind of working at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, and there's a bit of a date there, the boundaries between work and time break down. That, I don't think it's very healthy for life, for your objective of life. I'm aware I've used pretty much time, but I would say that in terms of the future, I'd like to build it. I do have some full-time staff, not just relying on I was pretty much there in 2010. 2011, the turn up in the level tip companies.
Richard, sorry, we did lose that bit there. I think most of it's coming through. I was really conscious for the sake of the illustrators, if they miss any important points that you make, they could completely misrepresent you, and I wouldn't want that to happen.
Beautiful. As long as they make you look good looking, that's all right, you know.
They've done that, yeah.
I think I was saying in the future, I would hope to build it up to have some full-time staff. That's definitely where I want to go. I'm not only working with the freelancers. I think that, you know, I miss a little bit that camaraderie of working with people full time. I was more or less there 2011 when we had our biggest year and we had a huge amount of work. I was massively overworked actually 2011. But I'm quite happy I didn't take on full time staff because then we had a bit of a downturn in 13 and 14. 11 and 12 were big, 13 and 14 was a bit of a downturn. And had to fire them all again, which I think would have been a real shame. I would like to build it up, but I'm aware I'm quite careful with the risks that I take. I wouldn't say I'm completely risk averse, but I like managing risk and I like being aware of it. I would say as a final point, in terms of what I've learned more than anything else, or if I think there's anything key that I hope other Lancaster graduates or alumni could take away. I think the most important thing for me has been learning to cope with the volatility and the swings in turnover and earnings. To understand I've changed my kind of comfort zone. I've expanded my comfort zone and expanded my ability to cope with those swings massively. And that's not to say that it's not a problem. It is a problem. Sometimes, I think probably the worst periods I've endured is sometimes I've gone maybe 2 or 3 months, not just with no profit, but with no turnover. I've even endured a couple of months. You know, we've had quite a difficult business climate for several years now. I've endured sometimes up to 2 or 3 months with no turnover at all. And that, you know, that is a serious problem. Through another months where I'm turning over something between £25,000 and £50,000 in a month, you know, which also is a difficulty at the other end of getting enough staff to do all that work. But learning myself to cope with that volatility and to kind of be at ease with that and understand that that's a part of the game, that's part of the game you play, that's probably been the most important learning point for me, I'd say.
Okay, so before we ask any questions, does anybody have any
questions?
Oh yeah, we've got a question from the floor.
When you say about learning about how to deal with volatility and risk, how exactly did you learn, for example?
For me it could only come through learning by experience. And realizing that reality isn't quite as we imagine it could be. There's a great quote, I think Ian Twain, who wrote, "I've known a lot of trouble in my life, and most of it never happened." We can imagine all the terrible things, all the huge problems that there could be. And it wasn't a surprise to me. It was one of the problems I mapped there quickly. That, but what happens if, you know, you have periods of no income or periods of no turnover or whatever? That could be a real problem. And it's true, it is a problem. But what I found was that, okay, you can cope with it because you're aware it might be a problem. So you manage it, you know, you manage the problem. And I made sure that, you know, when I had a good sense, when in months where I earn a lot, I don't go out and buy cases of fantastic. I take account of the fact that I've had bad luck as well. It's only by coming through that cycle several times myself that I became more comfortable with it. I experienced it several times and realised, okay, yes, it is a problem, but yes, hopefully I can deal with it. So there was no trick to it, other than just experience. And what I realised is it's not as bad as my imagination maybe tried to tell me sometimes. You know, that I did have the resources to cope.
I'm interested in the fact that you're operating from Denmark. Where are your customers?
Yeah, most of our customers are based in Copenhagen.
Sorry, that died.
We lost you.
Most of the customers are Copenhagen based.
Okay.
So it's companies in Copenhagen, the greater Copenhagen area. But some of those are, of course, very large organisations, which is why we've ended up, you know, when we worked abroad, which we've done quite a lot. Mostly it's with large international Danish companies. So our biggest customer is Maersk. I don't know if anyone has heard about AP Moller Maersk. It's a large shipping company. They've got interest in oil, in shipping, all sorts of different terminals as well, port terminals. So we've done a lot of work for them in all sorts of different countries. We've done work for various Danish academic organisations abroad. We've done a lot of work for the European Environment Agency, which is based there. Their headquarters in Copenhagen. They're one of our key customers. We've done a lot of team and performance development with them. So mostly it's a Copenhagen base. We've had a few British based customers as well, but where we've had British based customers, it's usually been through my personal connections. Not because they found this company in Copenhagen, they thought it's great. It's been because I knew people anyway, or whatever. That's how I got published business.
Okay, I mean, I think that's the message that's coming through through some of the other people speaking, that those networks of people you know can be a real lifeline at times.
Yeah, it's massively important, I would say. And explain. Two key phases in the company. The first phase, my company, I had to work a great deal as a sub-vendor. So I would go in and work for other consulting companies as a freelance facilitator or consultant, services they sold. Now that meant I had to take a lower price, I had to accept that I didn't have much control over the process that was going on, but I just didn't have the network. To sales group. When I took up my company again after a couple of years of work, by that time I built up a much stronger network myself. And now the vast majority of my work with direct customers. I still do a little bit, I still do this competitive sub vendor for consulting companies, but the vast majority of my company work is directly to customers.
What was your line?
Oh yeah, I'm going to ask it differently this time.
Okay.
Hi Richard, it's Amanda.
Hi
there. I just wanted to ask you about your time at Lancaster. What was the best thing about your time at Lancaster University?
This is an incredible event.
Yeah. That's a bit of a dangerous question. What was the best thing about my time there? I would say that I've got two answers to that question, actually. If it hadn't been for Lancaster, what then? And actually, my most immediate answer to that, if it hadn't been for Lancaster, I would never have taken up rugby league. I'm from the south of England, and I lived in southern England and southern Wales, and I'd always played rugby union. It wasn't until I moved to Lancaster that I took up league, and I absolutely loved it. I far preferred it. And I've never looked back. I've never played union since. And I actually ended up playing rugby league at international level for my adopted country, Denmark. So I played. I played for the Danish national rugby league team. And that would never have happened if I hadn't. So that's something I'm happy about. But maybe a slightly more relevant business-related. I would say, I think Lancaster gave me particularly actually I don't know if this is still the way things work at Lancaster. When I was there, everybody to do three subjects in the first year. The education was liberal. As it happens, I chose to continue that. I studied PPE through it and loved it. But the broad nature of the education, I think, was important in the sense that if it hadn't been for Lancaster, I wouldn't have that breadth of learning that many of my customers really seem to appreciate. I think a lot of my customers appreciate that I'm able to discuss with them and work with them. It was a very broad recognition. And my economics education, philosophy education, and so on from Lancaster meant that I had a kind of real broad range of issues that I was able to deal with, that I'm able to deal with them. And I think that's things that other companies really appreciate, the work that I and my colleagues do. And that's a slightly more sensible answer than saying it's been broken.
I like the first one better.
Your studies obviously weren't a complete waste of time, so that's also positive. Right, well look, thank you ever so much for your time. Could everybody give him a big hand? Lost you then, start again.
It's been a real pleasure. Good luck to all of you. And like I said, remember what Mark Twain wrote or said. I'm in a lot of trouble in my life, but most of it never happened. It probably isn't as hard as you imagine. It probably isn't. There are problems there. There are hindrances and whatever, roadblocks in the way, but you probably have got the resources to get over them. So good luck to everyone.
All right, thank you very much. Very much.